The things we are doing today are different than what we'll be doing tomorrow, right? The questions that you're trying to answer for your business users by running the analytics you're doing today will be different than what you'll be doing tomorrow. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is never scarcity of things for us to work on.
From InterSystems, it's the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. To learn more about this and other episodes, please visit podcast.healthydata.com.
We're here today with Joshua Basire, the Vice President of Access and Chief Analytics Officer at Cooper University Healthcare. For those who don't know, Cooper University Healthcare is an academic health system based in Camden, New Jersey, with 900 physicians and 663 beds. Today, because we're talking to Joshua, the Chief Analytics Officer at Cooper University, we're going to be speaking about a great deal about analytics. So first of all, Josh, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jordan.
Yeah, so I think we'd like to talk about some projects you're working on in analytics. Specifically, you mentioned that you are working on a transition to a new analytics organizational model, a hybrid hub and spoke model. Would you tell us more about what you're doing and what led to this change?
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for asking the question. I'm sure this will be familiar to most organizations, because I believe that the success of your analytics initiatives is by large controlled by your operating model. That's how you execute your analytics. And most organizations in healthcare, when we look at it, I believe that most organizations do have some existing model of analytics, which might either be decentralized or it might be centralized or it might be in between. So for us, we've for a long time had more of a model that I would describe more to be on the decentralized side. And there have been some limitations that we have experienced in the past regarding that. You know, specifically, you do run often into some quality or trust issues with data, confusion for your end users, maybe slow responsiveness, because when you're in more of a decentralized world, the coordination is less because you have multiple teams trying to do analytics without proper coordination towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the challenges or limitations that we have had in the past that led us to this journey that we are on now over the last 2 years, I'd say. And after researching and looking at various industry best practices, we decided that the hybrid operating model was best for us. Essentially, that's really taking best of both worlds from a centralized and decentralized approach. So we are really not trying to be a centralized organization, but we are also trying to move away from being extremely decentralized.
And sorry to interrupt. I'm wondering, what was this driven by leadership, or was it users who were expressing frustration with the decentralized approach to analytics? Who was the main driver behind this push to move from decentralized?
Question. It's actually both, because the feedback kind of comes top down and bottom up, because your leaders are reacting to what they are hearing from the organization, from the analytics users, right? So you have analytics users who are concerned about the confusion and slow responsiveness and quality issues. When that cascades up to the leadership team, then that becomes an important aspect for the organization, necessitating us to actually try to tackle it.
You mentioned that there are some data integrity issues, or when you said quality issues with data. Could you speak perhaps about a particular use case, maybe a certain analytical report that you have for a particular department, and how those users have had with the decentralized approach experienced data quality issues, and then how in the hybrid model now those issues are resolved?
So a very simple example will be where two different teams within the organization ran data or created analytics about pretty much the same thing, but they analyzed the same data differently, ending up with two numbers that are not exactly the same. So that often happens, and I'm sure that it's not unique to us. It happens. I've had it even from my peers where you walk into meetings, but because of such an organizational situation, you end up with people presenting numbers that are different, but they're about the same thing. So that, of course, does raise eyebrows from your senior leadership team saying, hey, I thought we are talking about the same things here. How come the numbers are different, right?
Yeah.
So part of trying to change the model towards a hybrid model is more to introduce the central coordination or central governance of the common elements of analytics that touch everybody. So in such a model, that means that then we have a forum where we are bringing all these teams together to create a common understanding of those things. So if it's the governance of the data and how we define the data, we are doing that collectively as a single entity in as much as the analytics is being created and consumed in a rather decentralized manner. So that's the way that we approach, that's the approach that we are taking in trying to solve this challenge.
I see. I would like to move on to the next topic of analytics here, which is analytics enablement. You spoke about, I think you we discussed before the episode about expanding self-service capabilities to empower end users with analytics. So again, these end users, they drove the model, they wanted a more centralized analytics governance model. Now they're looking for to be empowered with self-service capabilities. Tell me more about that project.
Yeah, so we've been on an exciting journey as most organizations where as you get your leadership team and your users interested in analytics, there's always the appetite for more. So that comes in two fashions. You can choose to the buy approach where you are implementing various tools, whether it's your EMR or ERP systems, which have embedded analytics. But those do have certain limitations where you get to a point where certain things are not available. They are not available in the format that's necessary. So an additional approach you have taken is to create more of a custom development platform using one of the leading softwares, Tableau, which then enables us to create wealth of information. So in addition to what's available from within existing systems, we have been able to create a lot of custom analytics that cross over multiple domains within the organization. So what this has done is really, it's helped keep on satisfying that thirst for knowledge, but I believe the more information that we present to users, the more the questions they're asking, because this is information that they hadn't necessarily seen before. So it's generating more demand for data, if that makes sense.
So I understood that at Cooper University Healthcare, you've purchased a Tableau license and you're using that to create dashboards for your leadership team. Is that right?
Yes. So essentially, it's not a license, it's a platform. So it's essentially we have created a user base of over 600 active users, which is mostly our leadership team, where we have created this ecosystem of analytics tools where they can access the information about their business units based on the various business questions that they are trying to answer. And that's to complement the several analytics that we have from existing systems, you know, like your ERP, your EMR, your financial systems, your patient experience system. So it's really creating these plethora of information so that your users have the options on how to easily access the information that they are looking for.
I see. So are you saying something like, for example, let's make this concrete, the chief financial officer in the past would have had to say, hey, Joshua, I need a report on accounts receivable, and your team would have to do that and then email him the report, versus now the CFO can say, hey, I want this report on accounts receivable, and he runs it himself.
Ideally, yes. So it's exactly what you're describing, that the information is available. Though I think just to clarify that sometimes some of the questions being asked are new, so it might entail a little bit of wrangling of data, but using existing tools that have been created. So it might mean changing something to be able to answer the specific question, because what he or she is asking for may not exactly be available in that format.
What's the business impact been on Cooper University Healthcare of having users being able to drive their own analytics reports without needing your team as an intermediary?
So just to be clear, it's a journey. I can talk about some of the benefits we have seen. I'm not trying by any means to say that we have achieved the gold standard of this. This is a journey that we are on and we are evolving each day. Mm-hmm. So specifically to speak of, for example, in the access world where my role overlaps with, we have seen a lot of benefits talking about, for example, managing and improving how we use physician or provider capacity to improve access, right? So for example, in last year, we were able to improve that by 3 percentage points. And I think a lot of this was mostly enabled by the availability of the data to be able to drive the conversation that there's an opportunity here that we need to improve. So other things like, you know, when you talk about access, these aspects of, say, reducing your no-shows and cancellations so that then you have more capacity to use. I think last year we saw almost a 1.5 percentage points decline in that, right? Improving self-service when we are driving to push more patients to do things like scheduling and managing their appointments, we are able to drive a 5 percentage point increase in that. Again, I'm not saying that this is all mainly because of analytics, but analytics is an enabler for the operational decisions that have to be made in order to drive that change.
So I imagine a CAO at a peer institution somewhere else in the United States may be listening to this episode and saying, interesting, so this analytics enablement is allowing end user self-service and analytics. Is that freeing up more of my team's time? Are they therefore no longer spending as much time creating ad hoc reports for leadership? And if so, is my team diminishing in size? Are resources being constricted? Or is my team being applied to other use cases and have more ability to innovate and work on their own projects? What has been the impact on your team of taking some of the report creation off their plates and pushing it right onto end users?
So I get the same question from my team also, right? So that's not just a question from peers, but my team does ask the same question. So in analytics, I think it's an evolution. The things we are doing today are different than what we'll be doing tomorrow, right? The questions that you're trying to answer for your business users by running the analytics you're doing today will be different than what you'll be doing tomorrow. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that there is never scarcity of things for us to work on. In fact, I feel that the more we give people information, the more they look at it, the more questions that they have about other things that they want to learn. So I feel like it's actually been increasing, not reducing. Having said that, I think there's that evolution in analytics as we try to move from just working on descriptive analytics to going all the way to a predictive and prescriptive analytics. So there's a lot of interesting things that we are really planning on expanding our capabilities to when you start going into the realm of advanced analytics. Mm-hmm. Simple examples might be really leveraging on emerging technologies to create more information from unstructured data. A very concrete example is when you look in healthcare, a lot of data might either be text data or conversational data, but that's still data. It's not in rows and columns for you to easily analyze, but that's still a wealth of information that's untapped somewhere. Right. So that's all potential of things that we're exploring to move into as we free up the resources from just running reports. I don't see this as a threat to the team. I see this as a recognition of the value of the team so that we can continue doing more things.
I see. So the team, the more the team gets reports that are useful in front of end users, the more end users are requesting to have more additional reports, more questions answered. I'd like to ask, I have a few more questions that have come to mind. When you talk about predictive and prescriptive analytics, are you building these sorts of tools? You talk about unstructured data. Are you leveraging OpenAI LLMs? Are you building your own tools? How are you approaching predictive and prescriptive analytics?
So that's a new frontier that we are approaching now. We are running some small proof of concepts. But again, we're in healthcare, so there's a lot of sensitivity around how we manage the data. So we are really staying away from the public systems like OpenAI. But the good thing is that we're Microsoft shop, and Microsoft, as you're aware, has availed a lot of tools through the ecosystem. When you talk about Microsoft Copilot and their GPT capabilities. So those are the things that we are tapping into to see how we can leverage on those LLM capabilities within a secure infrastructure that doesn't introduce any risk to our data.
I see. On the topic of risk to your data, and I want to kind of circle back to the beginning of this conversation with the topic of data quality, right? You know, for decades, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out, has been an acronym well known in the data analytics world. You know, what are you doing to ensure, you know, great, you have excellent Tableau reporting capabilities that end users can use to create their own. You have new potential tools through Microsoft like Copilot, which allows you to leverage a private LLM instance that protects your PHI. But what are you doing to ensure that, one, data quality is improved? You know, I mean, you mentioned, one, that you moved to a kind of hybrid but centralized and decentralized governance model. But what are you doing to ensure, one, that the data is of the right quality and that it's deduplicated, aggregated, normalized? And then, two, how are you working to ensure that all the data you are getting from many sources like Copilot, like the EHR, like patient notes, like non-clinical data. How do you ensure that those are interoperable? So there's two questions: clean data and interoperable data.
Yeah, so that is an ongoing journey. The steps we are taking, we do have a very strong data team, and the various systems that we have put in place, which house our data, have been developed in partnership with our external partners to ensure that the data is structured in the best way possible. But having said that, data quality issues always arise because you have data pulling that data and interpreting it always introduces issues. So a simple example might be, like I mentioned earlier, two people going in to run the same data, but with slightly different definitions of the same data. So a very simple example. So some of the very basic housekeeping things that we are working on is really trying to ensure that we have standards when you talk about the definition of your metrics and KPIs that are established so that we have an agreement of what the KPI or the metrics mean, and people can leverage that across the organization. So for any analytical tools that we are developing, we ensure that that's available, and we are working on making that more robust to cover more metrics across the organization. So that really helps from the get-go to make sure that there's no confusion as you try to use that data. But as you are looking at our interoperability and pulling in more data together, I think that's where some of now the behind the scenes confusion happens, meaning if you're using the wrong tools or your folks don't, aren't sure about how they are doing specific things, there's potential for risk there. So that's something we are approaching carefully. We do have certain tools in place that help us with that on how we wrangle the data. But as we are looking to expand the data sources, we are also exploring other technologies that might help us do that better. We are having some discussions, for example, with Microsoft to see if their Fabric solution might help us in bringing all that data better, in a better fashion, close together, as we try to look at blending all this data to do more analytics in a more coordinated way.
So as we approach the end of this episode, I'd like to ask you to hypothesize, Joshua, if you could have kind of a 10 out of 10, right? You have some wish lists and you're saying, this is what I'd like to see. If I had unlimited resources and, you know, no obstacles, what would you like to see in 2024? What would be a 10 out of 10 for whether it's data interoperability, clean data, reporting, being able to incorporate Copilot? What are you looking to see? What would really make your life easier? What would be kind of your 10 out of 10 for where you'd like to be with your analytics team?
Well, you know, I'm tempted to say all the above, all the things you said, because the truth in analytics is that it's an ongoing journey, right? There's the things we are doing today. We are not perfect at all those things. Is making incremental strides to improve them. Mm-hmm. The ideal situation is that you have it all, you know, all the check boxes checked, but I know that's unrealistic. So if I was to pick, like, what could I see as the biggest win for this year, mm-hmm. I would say if we could attain more maturity on our governance issues, right? Because I feel like data is all about trust in data. So if we could resolve a lot of the things you're working on so that people have full trust and confidence in data, mm-hmm. I think that would be a big win for me. I know it's foundational, but that's a big win, because then that helps you have a solid foundation so that people are not having any concerns and questions about the data they're using down the road.
And just a little follow-up, which of the topics that we covered today would you say would do the most to improve trust in the data that you're working with?
The organizational model, because at the end of the day, all these efforts have to be done by people. And if you have an effective organization model, it helps actually drive your results. So that's why we have been putting a lot of work into that.
Perfect. Well, Joshua, I'd like to thank you. For our listeners, again, this has been Joshua Basire, the VP of Access and CAO at Cooper University Healthcare. Joshua, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, John.
From InterSystems, this has been the Healthy Data Podcast. I'm Jordan Cooper. Thank you for listening.